Today on Real Radio.
We see here that his will, his desire, his deception is to create an alternative kingdom. If Satan can create an alternative kingdom, that's why Jesus said, by the way, a house divided against itself cannot stand.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. We're in a series that takes a very close look at verses 18 through 20 of the second chapter, where John uses the terms Antichrist and Antichrists. Now, there will certainly be an Antichrist, but the same apostle, John himself, also warns that there will also be many Antichrists. Not only does John declare this, but Jesus himself said it, like in Matthew chapter 24, Luke chapter 21, and a bunch of other passages. Our teacher points this out as he continues in his mini-series called Who is Antichrist? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Can you agree with me that sometimes in our lives, some of the greatest, quote, opportunities or possibilities just didn't pan out, and then you hear why? God was protecting us. Oh, if you just buy this week, you know, they're all gone. This is the last one. There's a reason why it's the last one. And if God wants you to have it, it'd be there next week. Oh, come on, buddy. Listen, go over there and pray, and then come back, and then buy it. It's on sale this week. Hey, be careful. The deception and the leading away of humanity even towards Satan is something that's going to be subtle. Now, remember this. Satan hates your guts. He wants you better than dead. You know what better than dead is? To be alive and sterile as a Christian. That's best for Satan. If we're lukewarm, if we're carnal, if we're backslidden, we are better in the hands of Satan for his kingdom in advertisement and in effectiveness than we are for God. It'd be better for us, you know, if we didn't have a life to live in a backslidden state. But thank God, God brings us back home. But if Satan can get us off the course and broadcasting a message to the friends that we've been witnessing to, then that's like frosting on his cake. And this deception, he will use even in the life of a Christian. God's got your soul. Satan can't do anything about that. But he can sterilize you and I to keep us from being effective toward other people. He loves that. He loves that. He loves Christians who don't pray. Satan loves them. Why? Because they're being effective for him. Satan hates Christians who pray. Satan hates Christians who come to a Wednesday night Bible study. He hates you. He wants you absolutely messed up. Here's the battle in the cosmic realm. God loves you. He wants you forever in joy and happiness. Satan's ticked, and he knows his end, and he hates God. The only way he can get to God's heart is, how do you think, is to get you and me. And if he gets you and me, who does he hurt? God. When you and I sin, even though we're children of God, when we sin, who do we hurt? God. People in an argument, people in a divorce situation, people in a company battle, people in whatever, Christian against Christian, tearing each other up. And as pastors, we run in there and blow the whistle, you know, stop. Has anyone in this room on the right-hand side or on the left-hand side thought about what these words are doing to Christ? And the answer is always the same. No, we haven't thought about it. Every word that comes out, you're slashing him in the wrist. You're stabbing him in the chest. You're punching him in the nose. Think about it. I've got my rights. Oh, I've got my rights. And Christ is in the middle getting shredded in half when two Christians go after each other. It's horrible. It's as though we bleed him again. It's terrible. Satan wants to lead us astray, and he'll do anything he can. Also, we see here that his will, his desire, his deception is to create an alternative kingdom. If Satan can create an alternative kingdom, that's why Jesus said, by the way, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Satan is excited about breeding and creating cults. Why? They're little kingdoms. And he is the little father, so to speak, over it all. Why? Because a cult is a lie. Who's the father of lies? Satan is. He loves that. And he wants to create alternative kingdoms. He does it sometimes in churches. He not only does it in cults, he does it sometimes in churches because he loves factions. He loves division to create an alternative kingdom. Again, of course, ultimately splitting the heart of Christ. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 says, again, the devil took Jesus up into exceedingly high place and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Why? I want to create an alternative kingdom. And in this kingdom that he has, he wants people to bow to him, even the Son of God. That's sick, isn't it? That's twisted. Isaiah chapter 14, this is a really creepy verse. Isaiah 14 verse 9, Isaiah 14, 9 says, hell from beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. They all shall speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to hell, and the sound of your stringed instruments, the maggot is spread under you? These are what people in hell are going to say when Satan is dispatched there. The worms cover you. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who did weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt the throne or my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. Isaiah 14, 9 through 15. Interesting, isn't it? It's amazing. He wants to build an alternative kingdom, a different kingdom that he controls. Let's look at our fourth point tonight out of 10, and that is the days of the Antichrist. Considering the days of the Antichrist, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, the scripture says this, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field, on your belly. That's weird, because that means the serpent wasn't on his belly beforehand. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and, this is very strange, if you're taking notes or if you're there in your Bible, it is a capital S. I will put enmity between your seed and her, capital S, seed, which is a genetic impossibility, unless God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is going to impregnate Mary. It's a term of deity. It is a God thing. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Jesus' ministry, during his earthly ministry, the enemy was attacking him. And it was as though Satan was nipping at his heel. Yet the scripture says in Genesis chapter 3 that Christ, the seed of the woman, is going to bruise, or the word in Hebrew is crush, his head. And I like that. Since Genesis, the days of the Antichrist have been effect. Look at this, jotted it down here. His days have always been. From the moment of the garden, the days of the Antichrist, that spirit that permeates the world, has always been. Very, very important. Secondly, look at this. His days are now. They're escalating. When I say his days, I'm talking about in a colloquial sense. There is the man, the Antichrist, that's coming. But I'm talking about Satan and his will and how that permeates the earth, which is why in 1 John chapter 2:18 you have both the Antichrist spelled with a capital A, means the person, and in that verse a little later, the lowercase a, which speaks of the spirit that is around the earth. His days are now. The spirit of Antichrist is working now in the earth to deceive and to do these things. It is present. Don't think as a Christian, don't be ill-informed that everything's going to get better and better. You know, there's the dominion theologist people, the kingdom now people. Everything's getting better. Back in the 40s and 50s, they would say, things are getting better and better and better. Because it came out of England, and so they talked like that. Things are getting better. No, things are getting worse. Evil is waxing worse. We talked about it earlier. Things are getting worse. Why? The days of the Antichrist are marching onward, and they're supposed to. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, because evilness, lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. That's true. It's happening there now. And we have seen in our age, you and I have the opportunity, if we research it, to be exposed now to more false teaching and more of the spirit of Antichrist than any civilization in all of all time. You and I now. That's an amazing thing. You know, there's so many spin-offs and so many twisted little quirky things going on in the world. Consider this also. His days will increase in power. God says so. In Daniel chapter 8, verse 23, it says, toward the end of their kingdoms, that is the prophetic kingdoms of the ages that Daniel is speaking about, toward the end of their kingdoms, when they have become morally rotten, an angry king shall arise to power with great shrewdness and intelligence. His power shall be mighty, but it will be a satanic strength and not his own. Prospering in whatever he turns, wherever he turns, he will destroy all who oppose him. Though their armies be mighty, he will devastate God's people. That is the tribulation period. He will completely rout, by the way, everyone, the believers during the tribulation period of time. They will have to die for their faith because of this man's evil power. Daniel 8:25 continues and says, he will be a master of deception, defeating many by catching them off guard as they bask in false security. Without warning, he will destroy them. So great will he fancy himself to be that he will even take on the Prince of Peace in battle. That is the Battle of Armageddon, if you read it in Revelation carefully. But in so doing, he will seal his own doom, for he shall be broken by the hand of God, though no human means could overpower him. Daniel chapter 9, jot it down if you would, verse 24. Daniel 9:24. 490 years are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression and to make the end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in the everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 49 years and 434 years. He says, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 434 segment of years, it says there that the Messiah shall be karat in Hebrew, cut off. The Messiah shall be killed for committing a capital crime. You know it. He was God. And the people who killed him didn't believe that he was God. We talked about this last Sunday, didn't we? They killed him because they did not receive him. And so the people, the Bible says, and Daniel prophesied that Jesus would be killed for committing a capital offense. It says, that the Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Gee, guess who? For you and me, huh? And the people of the prince who is to come, that's the Antichrist, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, and until the end of wars, desolations are determined. Then he, that is the Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant with many for 7 years. But in the middle of the 7 years, he shall bring an end to the sacrifices and offerings. And on the wing of abominations, he shall make one as one makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined, and it shall be poured out on the desolate. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27 is the hallmark, keystone, foundational place of Bible prophecy. In those few little verses, it gives a chronological order of Jesus' coming, him being rejected, the advent of the Antichrist, and of course, his final doom. But the powers of the Antichrist will increase. They will be significantly increased after the church is raptured. We'll touch on that later. Very important. Let's look now to number five is this, the power of the Antichrist. The power of the Antichrist. Look, he will arouse a fallen humanity. How does he do that? Because he dabbles in evil with power, and he's got a hook into people's desires. The book of Daniel tells us he's going to deceive the world and conquer them by prospering the world. He's going to prosper them. What a schnooker deal that is. I mean, even Christians, you know, on the screen, if you send us $5, you'll triple your money in 5 minutes. Harriet, get the phone. Get the phone. I mean, it's like everybody, oh, this is a great deal. And listen, the Bible says the Antichrist will take advantage of that propensity even us Christians battle with. Ooh. Lord, I know you don't want us to do the lottery, but if I win, I'll just march down to Calvary Chapel and give Jack a check for the church building. We'll fund missions around the world. Lord, if you just let me in. Just have me to win this thing, and away we go. You know what? I saw a movie one time. The guy was drowning. I don't remember the name of the movie. It was years ago. But the guy's drowning. And he's, God, if you just save me, I'll give you everything I own. And he's swimming closer to shore. God, if you get me out of this jam, I'll serve you all my life. He's getting closer to the shore. God, if you just save me and I work out, everything works out okay, I'll give you, you know, $5,000 a year. He gets closer to shore. God, if you save me, I'll give you $2,500 a year. Then he gets to the shore and he stands up and he goes, it's okay, God, I made it. I'm fine. This pursuit, oh, if I just have this thing. Listen, Satan is going to use that against the world. He, Daniel tells us, is going to destroy the world through prosperity. Isn't that one common language the world speaks? Isn't that something? You don't have to talk to anybody, but just hold up a euro right now, which is stronger than the dollar tonight. Ooh. Hold up the dollar. Ooh. You know, you look at it and you just kind of, it's a dollar, but I tell you what, take that dollar to Russia, you know, you're talking about 23,000 rubles. Take it down to Mexico, where you almost double your money. Ooh. Satan knows that he's going to arouse a fallen humanity by his power. We just read it a moment ago in this portion of Daniel that we saw. Very, very powerful. He's got hooks into people. Also this, he will appeal to the masses. Daniel tells us again that he is an incredible speaker. The Bible says he speaks pompous words. Isn't that funny? Pompous words. Well, who wants to listen to pompous words? The world. Lie to me, will you? Tell me something. Just don't tell me the truth. Mikhail Gorbachev said a brilliant thing. Before the fall of communism, or let me put it this way, before the apparent fall of communism, Mikhail Gorbachev says we need to act as a Russian nation, as a people, We need to take, he said, advantage of the Americans' desire to not want to know. Think about that. Isn't that true? He said, we need to take advantage of America's desire to not want to know. Don't tell me bad news. That's how the Antichrist will be. He's going to tell people what they want to hear. And he's going to have the satanic powers to do it. And the world's going to say, where has this guy been? He's the best. He's going to dupe them. He's going to appeal to the masses. He's going to sway them. Daniel tells us that this man who's called the little horn, which, not to worry, the word horn in book of Daniel in Hebrew is translated later on in the book of Daniel as a king. The horns, he says, the 10 horns that arise out of Europe are 10 kings. And the 11th is a little horn who subdues the others, and he becomes a king himself. And he speaks pompous words. And with his words, he flatters the world and curses the God of heaven. And you might say, well, how could anybody get away with that? I got news for you. There is a massive global agenda to proselytize the world for Islam. If you don't think so, then try to get more and more information, everything you can, from, say, UPI, United Press International, or Associated Press. Do everything you can to get information from a guy by the name of Ted Turner, who is the creator of CNN, who has an Islamic agenda. And you say, well, Jack, what's that all about? What are you even bringing that up for? Because everyone loves to, in these days that we live in, these last days, to talk about the end times. And everybody's interested, even the secular news media, about what's happening in Israel. And they should be. But let me ask you something. Honestly, be careful. And if you know the answer, don't shout it out. But I want to know what your view is, if it was like mine. If I were to flash up on the screen here a picture that would be symbolic of Israel, symbolic of saving Jerusalem, if I was to snap a photo up there right now, what would be predominant in that photograph? Anybody? Come on.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, taking us through 1 John chapter 2 and verses 18 through 20. It's part of a mini-series that examines this and other passages that warn against false messiahs, false prophets, and anything that is exactly that, Antichrist. The title, Who is Antichrist? Who is Antichrist? Is actually a series within a series, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse collection of lessons through these three New Testament letters written by the Apostle John himself. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now remember that every Monday night, including tonight, you can catch our television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time, on hischannel.com. That's hischannel.com. Now tonight, we're going to bring you part two of the video presentation of Behold, the Message of God. Behold, the Message of God is the first in a five-part Christmas series that we aired all last week right here on Real Radio. We hope you were able to hear it. We also hope you saw part one on last week's TV broadcast of Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Now, if not, simply visit hischannel.com and then click on Video on Demand right there at the top of the page. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.